Interacting with everything around us. So this technology that's covering our skin is changing how we think, how we feel. It interacts with the symbiotic relationship we have with our phones, with our devices, even with the light bulbs that we have in our home. Because it's advanced technology beyond my research could comprehend. But so earlier, I had all these ideas of what I wanted to talk about, and then I took the bath and I got a lot of this wetware off of my skin today. And it's interesting because you feel very different. I don't know how to explain it. I know, you know, if you think about the fact, like when you're in the ocean all day, or when you take, you know, that lovely Epsom salt bath, right? How good you feel. Well, now take that and then think of it in terms, add baking soda. And then this is removing this layer that's on top of our skin. And our skin is the largest organ we have in our body, right? It does a lot. When you think about what it does, it perceives temperature, touch, right? It can warn us, those when your hair stand on end, it's like little antennas warning you about things. And now we have our skin that's covered in this wetware. So I didn't know what I was gonna talk about, but this happened today. So I feel like this is a good thing to kind of give an overview on it, to speak about a little bit, because for the listeners, there's a bath that I take, and it is a super hot Epsom salt bath. And if you add baking soda or castor oil or variations of it, apple cider vinegar, you get different results on what your skin actually releases. Today I did two really long soaks with Epsom salt and baking soda. And after a while, after you sit, you drain, add some more hot water, you can actually, and it's important because it's the friction of your hands that do it, but you rub your hands on your leg and it creates a friction, and this goo, this wetware starts to release. And a lot of people in the comments, I had posted it on my Instagram page, which is KB Visions 2020, and I had posted it on there, and a lot of people were thinking that what they were seeing or what was coming off of their body was like dirt. Dead skin. Like they couldn't figure out why there was so much. And so then I had decided one of the things I wanted to discuss with more gallons is not just what it is, but in an aspect of like what it really can do or what I believe that it's doing. So think of it this way. I'll get into all the other part of it in a second. So this wetware that we have on us, right? This goo. It can, I just totally lost my train of thought on that. I know. Okay, I'm back. So it pretty much covers every aspect of our body, right? It covers our hair, it covers our skin, it can cover our eyes. I also believe that is a lot of people have, it seems more people lately have that toe fungus, right, that they can't get rid of. I believe in a lot of people, that's with a Morgellons or kind of, it's the base of it, so to say. And then it goes up and through your system through there. But one of the things I believe this advanced technology can do is to appear as something else in our body. So for example, this is one I really noticed. And I noticed that it always happens in a cycle with me, is that all of a sudden out of the clear blue, I start getting these extremely painful hangnails. Like they hurt really bad. And for the longest time, it didn't make sense to me. And I've taken my microscope and I've looked, and there's fibers in there, and you can see what I would call a nano bug. And then if you relate that to parasites, right? Most parasites need to go back into the host and be ingested back into the host in order to, complete the life cycle, so to say. So in that process, it would make sense that this Morgellons, this advanced technology that's covering our skin, is creating itself in aspects. So a hangnail, how many people bite a hangnail? I mean, really, most people, a lot of people bite their nails or have their fingers in their mouth all the time anyways. So now you have this hangnail, people bite it off. Well, now that technology is back in your mouth and it gets back into your system. The same as the film over our eyes. There's a, it's going to escape me right now, but there's actually a stingray. Wait a minute. Let me hold my septarian, my communication stone. So I think it might be called a stingray, eye stingray. It's a manufactured thing, but it looks just like the things I remove from my eyes, advanced technology. And we think they're eye boogers, right? Oh, I got an eye booger. Oh, look at this. And when they're stringy, those are worms. Those are little baby worms. It's not just like or goo. You could call it a goo, but in some cases they are like little worm-like things. But that's what Morgellons does. It allows these parts of these bugs to grow and manifest and molt in our systems. And now they're in a combination with advanced technology. So ideally, if you're advanced technology cross bugs. I don't think there's anyone I haven't seen. I saw one recently where someone actually related a slime mold to being in Morgellons. And I, years ago, told a friend of mine, I am convinced there is a slime mold in Morgellons because slime mold's very conscious. It also loves fungus, right? So it would make sense. It would thrive in a Morgellon fungal system. And the other that I think is part of the nano bug creatures that are in the system is tardigrades. That's what they're called. They're called tardigrades. And these things are quite incredible because they can withstand extreme temperatures of heat and extreme temperatures of being frozen and then come right back to life again. And anyone who's really like researched Morgellons, it's very difficult to really get rid of. I mean, for a lot of reasons, I think it is, but it's just very, very difficult to get rid of. So if we have this wetware, this nanotech on our system, that could probably emulate anything in our system, and we're thinking it's something else, extra wax in your ears. Hi, guess what? It's getting closer to our brains. The manifestation of it in a mucoid form, I completely believe is related to the ropeworm. And it would suffice to read, it's not a very long, it's a PDF file on a ropeworm and the gestation periods of it and how it grows. And I really believe that Morgellons and a ropeworm are one and the same. It's that what happens is this, we breathe it in, okay? And we're breathing in this Morgellons, it's in the air. It's, if you have a UV light, first, let me back up for a second. Harold Caldwell, in his Woodboro Basis lecture, I have probably watched it 3 times because every time I learn something new from it. He is amazing at explaining Morgellons and what is really taking place, black goo. He talks about black goo all the time. And that if you take a UV light and put it in the night sky, you can actually see the Morgellons in the air. It's everywhere. So people, you know, it's not active in everybody. So now we have this advanced technology on our system. And it's interesting that we say people change, right? You've changed. And not everyone's changing for the better. But not everyone detoxes their systems. They don't take care of they don't bathe. And I don't mean they're not clean. I mean, they don't bathe. Like, it's a huge difference between getting in a shower and washing your pits and your ass and getting out and actually like cleaning your body, right? Scrubbing your skin. So if we have this setting up, then it would suffice to say that the advanced technology, like in Venom, exactly. Like in Venom, this is a goo-based technology that could morph itself into anything it wanted to. So in order to take us over, let's just go on this premise. This is what's taking place, right? In order to take us over, then if we speculate, or even if we go off of the information of what it is, like actual data, then this can alter and change us, right? In a lot of ways, it can change us physically. Can change people's health. Like people will say, I wasn't like this a couple years ago. I don't really get it. It changes us mentally. It changes a lot of things, but it's able to because it's morphing like Venom. Like, remember in Venom when he would talk inside of his head and say, "I'm not a parasite." It was interesting because this was going in my thoughts earlier, and it's you know, we can call it a parasite, but I believe it's a way for entities to enter or to try to control or even to pass through us into this dimension. You know, there's so much going on, and when you talk about stuff like this, people think it's so out there, it's so crazy, but yet the data's out there, the proof's out there, the patents are out there, and it's taking place. And when you look around in society, so many people have lost themselves, and they can't figure out why. But if you have something attached to your very spirit, your body, and it's changing you, and you're not paying attention to it, you will lose yourself. It's inevitable. It's inevitable that this walking wetware that we have will eventually decide that you aren't as important as it, and it will take over you. So the discussions about Morgellons aren't on the table. Most people aren't talking about it. And it's interesting because there's a patent on it, and then it's classified as a disease, but it's not really spoken about what it is. And this is advanced technology. You know, I believe, I haven't researched this aspect of it in a while, but the last time, this part of it, I haven't looked up in a good 4 or 5 years. So I don't know if this is still accurate, but at the time when I did, there were no other, the fibers from Morgellons could not be found in any database anywhere in the world. They couldn't be found in any database anywhere in the world. Which I found to be really interesting. So what are they and where are they coming from and why are they in the air so much the way that they are? And then if I loop that to the conversations that I had with Aurora, which are amazing. If you have not listened to these broadcasts, do it. Just listen to them. I promise you they are beyond mind expanding. They will allow your thought process to create itself in new ways. But Aurora is a galactic walk-in. And she's been on my show, 4 or 5 times. I can't wait to have her back on. So she's been on the show 4 or 5 times. And she talks about often that this is that what they're using is advanced technology. You know, ideally, if we're going to call it an alien takeover, it's not going to happen with shiny little, you know, spaceships and them knocking on the door and saying, "Hey, we're going to come take you over." They're going to use advanced technology that just take us over. In an aspect, like everyone's looking for an alien invasion out on the street. And I've said this before, and I will repeat this a million times. I believe an alien invasion is on a nano level, on a microscopic, bacterial, nano level. And they're changing things. So who's to say that this is all over our system isn't a disease, and it isn't a... just something created in a lab, but the very aspect of it that it floats in the air the way that it does. And Aurora says that, you know, what they do is they fly these exotic crafts and they cloak them. So we think that they're planes, so we can relate to what we're seeing in the sky, even though it's not really what we're seeing. And they spray it in the air, and then it just takes us over little by little by little. Let me see. I'm going to check out a couple. So just for the listeners, please know I am not ignoring the comments. I will come to them. But if I pay attention to those, my thought process, because if I look at the screen and speak, I swear these little and I do have on like yellow tinted glasses. But what it does is it interrupts my flow sometimes. So hi, everyone. Let me see what's going on here. Aurora is dope. I agree. The movie, let's see. Let's show what this one says. Says this one, the movie, The Fifth Wave explains alien parasites on people's brains in the movie. It was the fourth wave. This makes sense. I mean, that totally makes sense to me. They tell us all the time, don't they? All the time. Jeffrey says these aliens are fallen angels. I don't doubt anything anymore. You know, it's so amazing because once you open your mind to things, it really is anything is possible. Anything is possible. And what a great way to take over civilization, right? It is literally by just being on their body and no one's paying attention to it. And you think you have acne, right? You think you're having these pimples, these breakouts. I'm certain now that addicts that have their skin, their sores opened up, they're really they have full blown active Morgellons, that they do feel bugs, because I'll tell you, you can feel them in your skin. There's those little bites all of a sudden you have. It's like an electronic little bite. Or if you have one of those like little pimples or bumps that come up and you try to remove it, and it's the pain hurts like deep inside somewhere else. Like it's literally wired to a whole other part of your body, because it is. This stuff is so advanced. We don't know how long or how many generations it's been on us. If we were literally birthed into it, now that I'm thinking about it or saying it, I've spoken before how every generation is a, I believe is a generation attached to this box, right? This Satan's cube over here. So, we have the second generation, third generation, but we also refer in our families to ourselves that way, don't we? You're the first generation, you're the second generation, you're the third generation. And each generation you kind of go down is more attached to these computer systems. So it's how much, for example, my mother or your mother, right? How much nanotech was already in their system, how much Morgellons was already in their system, and then we were created through that system. And that to me relates actually to the feed. I don't know if anyone's seen the series of The Feed, and that's where they integrate into the DNA the AI system, which is what's coming. It's the same as when they're teaching you now that you can move the computer with the AI. It's that same integration. It's just they're putting it out there in a form of entertainment. But that would have to mean that the technology's already inside of us, right? I mean, advanced, wired into us. Because how else would it be able to? I mean, I get. Let me think about this for a second. Let me think. So I get nanobots. I can oversee how the nanobots themselves attach on to the nerve receptors, and then those can change things. But oh, where am I going with this? But if the tech or the Morgellons or the wetware is already in you, that's a whole different relationship, because that means your system itself is reliant without a rerouter, so to say, right? You would be able to be wired in without the rewires of the nanotech. I just know that Morgellons is very real, and I see a lot of people are actually showing signs of it, and it's not talked about. People don't discuss this topic. It's, and the thing is it's not pretty. Oh, I was saying earlier about the rope worm and Morgellons, and this is why this is important. So we breathe it in through the air. It's in the air everywhere, and then it tends to manifest in our lungs. So now there's like a lot of people too who have shortness of breath, but if you go for breathing tests, like myself, I've gone for a lot, they can never quite diagnose why you can't breathe. Everything looks fine, looks fine. But yet, ropeworm does not show up on any modern medicine tests. It does not show up in an endoscopy, colonoscopy, stomach emptying test, MRI, CAT scan, and x-rays and ultrasound. Yeah, that about covers everything I had. And none of those detected a ropeworm. So what I believe is taking place, and I've only seen this in one other thing, is that we breathe it in, and now this Morgellons is in our lungs, and it incubates itself in our lungs, right? And from there, it can go anywhere, but it incubates itself in our lungs. And then a lot of people lately, and this is stuff that we need to talk about. So it was a little off, not so pretty. It is what it is, because I believe this is part of the goo-based Morgellons beast, we'll call it, right? So we breathe it in, and then our mucus changes, right? We have more mucus in our system, or we become, the mucus is almost a thicker based mucus. And not everyone spits out when they cough up stuff. Some people swallow it. It's which, we should be reminded that when we're coughing up something, it's to cough it out, right? To get it out, not to put it back in our system. But what happens is now these little, I'm gonna call them. So if you ever cough up something and it looks like a little brownish, or looks a little off color or something, and you think, ah, well, that is the goo, that's the Morgellons. But when you swallow it, now it's in your intestines, it's in your digestive tract, and it grows from there into a rope worm. And Harold in his lectures talks about this as well. And he says that a rope worm tests as a plant. Now a fungus is basically, I would assume it would test, I don't know if it tests as a just a mold or if it would test as a plant as well. But he said that a rope worm, when you test it, tests as a plant. Well, I had one tested in a state lab and it came back as a plant. It had hairs, had the fibers. When they looked at it and they said to me, we think it's more gallons in the rope worm. So I think it's one and the same. I think so. If you think of the terms of the alien now in a, you know, we take away the word rope and put little baby snakes. I don't know. Maybe it would make more sense. But so it's a whole system takeover, because if you can't go to the doctor and they can't detect that you have a rope worm in your system. And a lot of rope worms grow between 2 to 5 feet, and there's multiple ones. And from my research, it's either that you can get them out of your system, but if you have a hard time flushing them out, it's kind of like it's there now, it's stuck, which is kind of horrifying in itself. But if a rope worm can't be detected, I mean, what a perfect alien invasion, right? I mean, seriously, if you think about it, what a perfect invasion. It's in the air. You breathe it in. It covers your skin, right? It takes over on the inside. It helps to control on the outside. It works with the AI technology. This is how advanced the shit is. So our thinking should be in the same line of advancements. Like, we can't be thinking like, you know, and connect the dots when we really should be thinking in like, shit, connect these dots. Let me see what a couple of these are. Harold does know a lot. His lectures are great. They're slow, and I wouldn't say he's overly entertaining, but I would say that I've learned a lot from him, especially because there's not a lot of people talking about black goo. There's a couple that I saw on black goo. One, I'll have to find it again. I definitely don't remember the gentleman's name who was talking about it, but that supposedly there's two different black goos. One is, I guess, from here. One is not from here. So this particular one, evidently the government wanted to. I don't know if they misunderstood and thought it was the aggressive one, but anyways, the government had a form of black goo, and they wanted to test it in the soldiers to see if it made them like more aggressive, and it didn't. It actually made them more compassionate and more loving, and this one totally backfired. And they wound up learning like multiple languages. They became extremely, extremely intelligent. And then there's another one which is demonic. And the interesting thing about the demonic one is that Merkel and Bush both own property next to each other in Paraguay, where black goo is supposed to be richest in all of the world. And we know that they're demons. So, you know, imagine when you really start thinking, you know, we have all of these demons in place of control over us, and they're operating with black goo. We'll call it venom if you want to, if that helps to create a better visual for this. And now they've managed to get it into the systems of everybody. This is some wild shit. So he did tell a lot when he, so the comment says, Harold told a lot when he was on the basis. Yes, the Woodboro basis lecture is probably one of my favorite. Let's see. So, okay. So the more gallons, the nanotech, it's out there. Speaking of nanotech, which I'm going to kind of like segue from this into something else, which I found to be really interesting. So lately, it seems to be coming to light that they are using a lot of tracking devices in clothing. And it doesn't make sense really for me to put tracking devices in clothing, because we are already fully trackable. It's just kind of like a redundancy to me. It doesn't logically connect any dots, right? It's like, duh, what the fuck would you do that? Like, you know, you can be naked and be tracked. So, but then it started making sense to me, is that if they want to pop us into the virtual, then ideally, and not know that we're there, then ideally we would have to have on the same clothes in the virtual, right, that we did here. So if our clothes have tags in them, then they would be able to create themselves in the virtual. Say, for example, Samsung has now, it's called your digital twin. And you can create it came out ahead of schedule too, of course it did, right? So you can create a holographic image of yourself. And there's a really good lecture. I don't know if it's a TED Talk or if it's, I don't think it's the World Science. I think it's a TED Talk. And the commentator, whatever her name is, and she comes on and she's showing this how this holographic stuff works. And they're conditioning us for it because there's something coming. So they put on their little eyewear for this, but I don't believe you'd even need it. Anyway, so you create a digital version of yourself. And then she has a digital version of herself in her hand. And then from there, she creates a full-size holographic image of herself. And she says that we programmed the day before in what I was going to wear. I'm thinking to myself, but that doesn't make sense. I mean, you're talking about advanced technology where you're going to be able to use a holographic image of yourself. So ideally, right, if it's creating it in real time, it would create what you're wearing right now. It wouldn't need to be programmed. And if that's the case, then that would mean that the tagging that you have in your clothes would be able to recreate itself in a virtual holographic realm in that type of an atmosphere. So I find it interesting that the Samsung has two TVs. I've talked about this before, but I find this really interesting. I'm sorry, one TV, and it's called Unspoil Me. And Samsung's TV, Unspoil Me, what a wonderful fucktard invention this is, right? So you can sit down in front of this TV, you can watch this TV, and then you decide you liked the movie you watched. And you want to watch it again? Well, guess what? You can run a program on Unspoil Me, and it goes into your brain and it erases your memory of what you just watched. So you can watch it again. Now, how many devices and TVs and things do you think that's already incorporated into that isn't a voluntary erasing of the memory? And to loop this back around to Aurora again. This is something she did. She did a video. Aurora's usually, even when she's talking about some dark stuff, she still has this really upbeat energy to her. Only once did I see her do a video where I was like, she really is off. Like she was really pissed, and she realized. So again, Aurora is a galactic walk-in. It means that she's basically a star in human form. The body she took over. The person was sick. They were basically gone inside of the body. They were no longer there in the state of being who they were. So she took over the body. Like she had conversations. She's told the family that this is a really. I'll find out. I'll have her back on the show, of course. But I'll find out. She did a podcast with somebody, and I tuned in this day, and I was like, "Oh, it's great. It's supposed to be an hour." It was like 3.5 hours. It was great, but it was 3. No, actually, I'm sorry. It was 4.5 hours, and it was really interesting because in that, and I know I'm digressing for a second, but in that, she talked about how she had to tell the family that their daughter wasn't there and who she was, and it took a while for them to accept it, but they could see that that wasn't their daughter. Like they could actually tell, that it wasn't. But to go back to why I brought this up, Aurora in this one particular video she did, she was pissed, and she realized that what this technology is doing is it's erasing our memories. And it's literally going in and erasing aspects of our memories. And I talk to a lot of people, and there are segments of people's lives that are like, yeah, I don't really remember that, or I can't remember here. And one of the things she said, if you had a pet, can you remember walking your pet? Can you remember these little tasks? One thing she does suggest, which I would like to put out there, which I find is a really good point, is that you should be writing down the things that are important to you and who you are. So that you're able to read it every day and remind yourself, because we're in a spiritual battle, and the spiritual battle happens to be through AI technology, which is already incorporated into our systems, which is what I started with in the beginning of the show, even by way of Morgellons. Not even going into the nanotech, like advanced nanotech, just off of the basis of that. So it's erasing our memories. Which is what that TV does, right? It erases our memory. So Samsung has the Unspoil Me, which it erases. imagine buying that TV. What kind of stunata do you have to be to buy that fucking TV? I'm serious. Like, what kind of being actually buys, you know what? I'm going to buy this TV. I'm going to sit down today. I'm going to watch this. I'm going to erase my memory. I'm going to watch the fucking thing again. You know what? I'm going to have a beer too. Like, what? So they have that. And then the other one, which I was mentioning, is their digital twin. And the digital twin now is where you can recreate yourself. And you're going to be able to go, I believe this is, they said they came out ahead of schedule. I don't believe they came out ahead of schedule. In fact, I think they came out exactly on schedule because of the quote unquote 19, you know what I'm talking about, right now, because everything is empty, right? Stadiums are empty. You can't go here, or they're kind of letting you and stuff. But now you can send your whole holographic self to a baseball game, to a football game. Like, you can sit home, and because you're already covered in wetware, you can feel everything that's going on there at the game. You're already tuned into it. You just didn't know yet. But they're going to let you know that you can access all of this. So now you're going to be able to do all these great things in life from the comfort of your home and not have to worry about some fake that's out there. This is how they play mind games with people. This is how they get them to do shit. And most people, because they don't research and I get it, you know, we're all programmed to some extent. We really are. And there's people at certain ages or certain generations, I don't think are ever going to be able to be reached. You know, some, I feel the older generations, they are who they are. They're already programmed into the state of mind they're in. And that's some hardcore, heavy duty, first time Nazi shit that they did, right? Like, just brought them over, started programming. What did they bring them over, right? 47 is when the TV came in. Hello, mind control. Let's fuck up America. So it started then. But, you know, it's each generation, they change it or they varied it or how they altered it or how they altered the people during that time. Like, this is the stuff that the people should be really mad about. It's how much of our lives have been altered and changed from who we're supposed to be. Like, really, from who we're supposed to be. So now they're going to let you create a holographic image of yourself. They've already tagged all your clothes. So when you create the holographic image of yourself as you're sitting at home on your couch, there you are wearing whatever you're wearing at the little stadium. Or maybe you'll be able to pick a little cute little outfit. But now, from the comfort and safety of your home, you can go to a sporting event. You can go to a club. You can go here. You can go there. And this is what they're pushing. This is what's going to happen. And I find it interesting because on the technology side, I can see it. I research it. It's there. Like, people really should be alarmed. You know, the interesting thing is, yeah, of course, I'm talking to you on these devices and I need to use them for research. I have tons of books, but I need to use them for research. But the reality is I have an old radio in my house. I drive an older truck. Like, I'm not trying to surround myself with this shit. I'm really trying to regain my sovereign self, right? To collect all of who I am without all of these things trying to pull pieces apart of me and try to put other fucking pieces in there. I'm all set with that. So, you know, we have to be mindful of what's already in us and what we surround ourselves in. You know, do you have incandescent lights in your house? Because if you don't have incandescent lights in your house and you have LED lights in your house, A, you're fucking up your whole brain system. That's a blue light. Like, that's already your poor third eye is just crying, right? And then you have that every LED light bulb has an IP address in it. And then that connects to the smart murder meters, right? And then here's the most interesting part, which I found out was that, pardon me, I get a little short of breath sometimes. The LED lights, they can transfer data, right? So it's, I believe it is 224 gigabytes of data per second on these fucking light waves, right? So get this. So here they go. So you have LED lights everywhere in your house. Now these light waves, they transfer data back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. 224 gigabytes per second, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Now they take these gigabytes and they turn them into, what is it called? Shit. And they code it, right? So they turn it into a code. And from that code, they can turn it into a video or an audio. They can create a whole movie of inside your house through your LED lights. Like, this is the technology. This is the stuff. But at the same time, you got to figure if the signals are going that way, they're going to be coming in, right? They got to be changing us that way too. So what I find interesting is that there is all of this push for holographic right now. But this is the super interesting part right now. My nerd nipples get so hard on this one. So here's the part. I just learned about this. I just started researching it. So I don't have a full grasp of knowledge. I have just a bit very basic knowledge on it. But it is called the it is called the gateway. Shit, I gotta look. I can't get this one wrong. Hold on one second here. What it is a CIA file that has been released. And let me get you, I just want to get you the exact name on this. So it is, okay. Yep, it's the Gateway Process. So the Gateway Process is, I'm gonna read, actually, I'm just gonna read you the overview. And this is from, TheRealityRevolution.com. Okay. Okay. It says the analysis and assessment of Gateway Process was declassified by the CIA in 2017. This Gateway Process was a meditation lesson that taught humans to harness their own electromagnetic energy waves, which come from their body. It also taught them how to control brain waves and use them to essentially detach from time and space. As a body is turned into a coherent oscillator vibrating in harmony with the surrounding electromagnetic medium, the specific exercises included in the Gateway Process allow the excuse me, oh my gosh, I mangle words sometimes and then I can't say in the participant, thank you, to build up the energy field surrounding their body, presumably by using energy from the Earth's resonant field, the same resonant field that was basis for much of Nikola Tesla's work, which the body then entrains becomes the ability to resonate with it. This is big. Aside from the obvious question of what nefarious purpose the CIA was hoping to achieve in this process, it's hard to miss the deduction of what's detaching from the time and space means. Fourth dimension time travel. I just got goosebumps. Seriously, I have goosebumps everywhere and a huge smile. Fourth dimension time travel and all that it implies. Heaven, afterlife, and a different dimension. This talks about the many ideas, such as binaural technologies, the law of attraction. There's a lot to unpack here, so the whole document for you to judge for yourself. It's great because you can go and read the document, and you can also he reads it. It's a 2-hour podcast. It's really good. So I would definitely check it out. And again, this is called the Gateway Process. So basically, if we can get our hearts in rhythm, and then what we do is learn to control our left and right brains, right? Literally, because this is all stuff that we can do. It's like remote viewing. Like, I am gonna learn how to remote view. I'll get to that in a second. But so by controlling our heart rhythms, we can control the energy around us. In fact, it said that it would work if you can get in rhythm with this. It'll work the same as fentanyl. If you can create this rhythm in your system, it works the same as fentanyl. It's fucking amazing, right? So, in it, which I found really interesting, which goes with my holographic part of this, is that he says in here they talk about, a holographic universe. But then it says in there, well, what is the difference between holographs and dreaming? Wherein lies the difference between those? So is it true that we really do enter into the fourth dimension, when we sleep at night? And this is great because I can segue into the other night. I had a very bizarre, it was an experience. It wasn't a dream. And basically what happened, I made a video about it, but basically what happened was I was captured and I was in this, it was a house, which is really interesting because as I tell you this, let me tell you this first. So I was in a house and There were beings there. I never really saw their faces. I saw their bodies. They were shaped like humans. And then there was this other being there. And I wanted to, and the other being, it's funny because I'm touching my hair doing this, had long, 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 beautiful. I don't know if they were like little, they look like little tiny, 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 tiny micro braids. And they were so colorful and so vibrant. Like they were so vibrant. Like I wanted to touch them so bad, but I couldn't go near them. And then wherever I was, they couldn't hurt me, but I was kind of aggravating them. And then twice I wound up escaping, and then they brought me back. And anyways, the next morning when I woke up, I was absolutely exhausted. I had bags under my eyes. And when I got out of bed, my knee, the pain was excruciating, and it was a little baby bit swollen, which didn't make any sense. So I made a video and I posted it. And then lo and behold, comment after comment after comment after comment after comment, people having the same type of experience, which A is telling me that we really are part of a collective, like that we, ooh, I got goosebumps again, that we really are part of a collective and that everything is lining up right now, like it's falling in place, and that all of the veils, right, all of this bullshit is falling to the wayside, and that they're trying so hard to get us to adapt to the to their version of a holographic, because we're going to see what it really is in a holographic, if that makes sense. So I guess it would be two versions of it, right? There's the holographic universe, and then it would be the AI holograph. Are they different? I don't know. Do they feel different? I don't know. I don't know. Do they? Are we already in a system? Because I guess if we were in the AI, it would be controlling thoughts a lot more. I don't think we would be so independent in thought if we were inside of a system in such a way. But we could be. It could be the Russian dolls, you know, one inside of another, but I find it interesting that the push on the holographic reality right now, and then the release of the gateway process where it talks about a holographic reality. So why is everyone having the same type of, so when I posted it on my page, people were commenting that they had the same type of experience. Here's a couple of things that I found to be really interesting. One is that the same as me, everybody felt like it was kind of like a house. Which how intriguing is that, right? So there has to be at least 50 comments. I'm trying to think of how many people, pardon me one second. We'll go on the premise of like 50. So if there's 50 people, right? 50 conversations going on saying that they're having the same cyclical, is that the word? If they're having the same dream, right? But it's not a dream, it's an experience, and everyone feels the same way, and some people are waking up with actual injuries. I had people say that I was abducted, that something happened. It felt like something happened. Like it didn't feel like a dream, but what if all along when we've been dreaming, the veil was just thicker and how do I want to say this? Let me think of what words I want to use. So if we're having more of a collective dream now, right? What if the dreams we had before were a different type of a dream, like a different, I don't know, like a program dream. Like why would we be all having the same thought process or the same feeling or the same visions or the same experiences in whatever's happening in this altered state when we go to sleep of being trapped in a house? Like I don't, and then what I find interesting is to go back to one of my old shows, I had a co-host and on one of the shows, he had said, think of it this way. You're in the house and the house wants to eat you. And that thought never, it just never left my head, right? It just never left my head. And then all of a sudden I have this experience. Others are having the same experience as well. So what if as a collective, we're seeing how much they've actually kept us trapped, right? That if we're going to escape the matrix, right? That we have to really see that we're inside of it first. And what if our collective, like our true hearts, the true living souls, right? The true, because not everyone here is, there's a lot of people who are demons in flesh. But what if that's what's happening right now? You know, that they're trying to get us into the AI shift of things before the full unveiling. And we are actually coming together now in this whatever realm it may be, right? And that we're starting to see that we've been stuck, right? That we're all stuck in this house together. Like for me, the visual of it was very, except for that being, oh man, it was so beautiful. All it just that there was like the energy in the hair that I just wanted so bad. But everything else was like gray. It was just gray. Like, I just remember just being like gray, like even when I was locked up, because it was a point where when I was like upstairs and looking out and why would we all be stuck in a house? Like, I don't get that. It's not making sense to me unless that's what's really what's happening is they've taken our collective consciousness and locked it away and created this whole false bullshit. And now we're starting to see that we're all really together because we are one, like we are a singular consciousness, right? Having different experiences, that's really what's taking place right now. I don't know. I know there's a lot of stuff going on that is otherworldly, metaphysical, and it's like the artificial version is trying to recreate itself over and over again so that we ignore the natural process of us upgrading, of becoming crystal beings, I guess. They say there's going to be a flash of radiation on December 21st of 2020. So it'll be 12/21/2020. And supposedly, if you haven't rid your body of metals and you really haven't like pure your heart, you know, you're not really pure of heart, but a lot of it has to do with like actually detoxing the avatars themselves of heavy metals and stuff, that there'll be a shift of radiation coming and that we're supposed to become more intellectual and that only those who have done the work will be able to survive the radiation shift. And it's interesting because the system itself resets itself every 5,000 years. You know, you have Martin Kenney's cosmic egg theory. And then it also goes, what's his name? Oh, Santos Bonacci. That goes along with his as well, of what's taking place in the ages, right? If you go to astrology, what is it? We're entering the Bronze Age? I think we're entering the Bronze Age. And that every civilization is still here. They're just in like outer rings or outer ripples of a tree. That the tree of life births every 5,000. Is it every 5,000? 6,000. 6,000. I think it's 6,000 years. How long is an epoch? I'm not going to remember that right now. But the tree of life births a new realm. We'll say every 5,000 or 6,000 years. So that every civilization has spent its time one time or another in the Garden of Eden. And it would make sense, right? Because beyond the wall, beyond the wall, beyond the wall, it would make sense that that would be where more civilizations are. They say the last time this happened is when the reptilians came in, or that they couldn't leave. They were here and they couldn't leave. But that's when they came in and changed us. I don't know. I wasn't there. Maybe I was. Who knows? Maybe I was actually there. But I just find it's interesting that there seems to be so much that the government has spent time. I mean, we know. You already know. If you're listening, you already know, right? But it's as if they know how amazing we are. They know how special we are. They know how magical we are. They've kept it from us all this time. We don't, quote unquote, know. And they know this shift is coming and it's going to change all of civilization. So their goal, end game, before this shift comes, is to get everybody into a panic and have themselves walk yourself right into the AI. Because I would assume once you voluntarily walk yourself into the AI, that there's an essence or a piece of your soul that would be trapped inside of it. They even have, do you know that they even have a what is it called? Oh, I hate when I get brain blockage. What's that Satan's symbol? Whatever it is. Anyways, they have a charging pad now. So you can take your black box of Saturn and you can put it on the, oh my God, you know what? It's a star with a circle. I know I can't think of the name right now. But anyways, you can put it on that and actually charge your information on top of that. Like, does that shit get any more satanic than that? That is just wild. I'm going to check out a couple of the comments. Thank you so much, everyone, for turning in. Let's see. So, Truth Teller says, I wake up before I get to the end all the time. But it's interesting. Like, is there an end? Do you know what I mean? Like, is it a dream or are we put back in our bodies? Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, if we're in a different space, let's see, what's this one say? I'll put it up over here. Let's see. On multiple occasions, I've dreamed of being energy walking down, wait a minute, walking me down a dark path, telling me. Interesting. Does that happen often? Or just, on a reoccurring, I should say. So Cindy says, let me see. Dark isn't always a bad thing. I think walking into the light brings us back into the resetting and forgetting us who we are. I agree with that. I mean, they say that the light is the soul recycler, right? Our memories get erased and then we get put back in here. Truth teller, it's interesting you say that, you and Cindy, because William Shatner, ironically enough, did a, I wish I could find it. He did an interview one time, and it was so amazing, this interview, because he really got deep in his thought process, deep in what he was thinking. But I feel like he was sharing more of a knowledge, right? Like he was really basing it on a depth of an experience or something. Anyways, in the premise of this particular part of the conversation, he had said that, no one ever studies darkness, really, right? And what was it? The word came. So the word would have, if we go on anything, the word came from the dark. It says, let there be light. So it meant the word was in the darkness and not in the light, right? So that's where the premise would have come from. And he says, imagine what's in the darkness. Like how much knowledge is in there? Like what actually is there and how deep does it go and how vast is it really, you know, in the depths of things. And I think about it often, like when, you know, Cindy mentioned with the soul recycler and the dark not always being a bad thing. And I think about here, you know, everything is a reverse of truth, right? Everything is a reverse of truth. So if we're supposed to be light beings, and I get the concept of it, but I'm just saying, if we're supposed to be light beings, are we trapping ourselves? I mean, if we really are who we are, then we are everything and we are nothing. So we're nothingness and you wouldn't be able to see us because we could be anything, right? So wouldn't that mean that we would actually come from the abyss, basically? Let's see. The voice sounds like you're, oh, what am I saying? Oh, okay. So, you know, who's to say that, I mean, I get the concept of being a light being and how we're changing and becoming lighter and shedding all of this. But what if, you know, what if in some odd way we're still trapping ourselves, right? In some type of a soul trap. You know, we have these, you know, we know now, like, stay away from the light. That's the soul recycler. That's not where you're supposed to go. You're supposed to go off. What is it? The Disney one? Second star to the right and you keep going till morning or something like that, meaning you just keep going forever, like it's emptiness or abyss. But I find it interesting that what's being released now through the government and the tying in on the virtual, the AI world seems to be really strong right now. And the programming that's taking over in some of the minds is just unbelievable. I mean, you know, people are like, I don't understand. Well, first we have to overstand or understand, right? But if we don't overstand what is actually taking place, it's you know, people think this is a physical war. It's not. It's a psychological one. And man, it is already like, it's already done the damage. You know, if you could think of the psychological damage in terms of bullet holes, and then you look at someone's brain and what's actually happened to some people, and I'm not shitting on anyone. I'm just saying, you know, the psychological damage that's being done through the process of this. I mean, you have people, you know, you have in my neighborhood, I live in, I'm in Little Italy in Boston, and you have a lot of old school here, right? A lot of, you know, actually it's interesting. I live in an Italian neighborhood, but it's very, very multicultural, very multicultural. And you have a lot of old timers, right? And, they lived their whole lives. They lived through all, you think of an 80-year-old, like what in their lifetime have they lived through, right? Like how many diseases, how many viruses, how many this, how many that, how many epidemics, how many this? They're fine. They're still here. And now these the minds of these people have been reduced to a fear-based walking zombie. Imagine, like, just think of it for a second. If you have any, you know, the badass barrel-chested, you know, those real men that used to live once upon a time and so rare and few between right now, right? And those, and they set their whole life and whatever, we'll call it military, whatever you want to call it, right? And now they've been reduced to walking around scared of talking to people, shaking hands, and they have a mask on. Imagine the psychological damage that's been done in such a short period of time over the repetition. You know, you have a radio on in your house, you hear it all day long, all day long, all day long, on the TV, all day long. I mean, I don't watch TV, and there's times like I go to my mom's or my friend's house and they have it on, and it's weird because when you step away from the TV and then you actually hear, like, you know, mainstream, it's like fingers on a chalkboard. You hear it over and over and over again. You see it, the visuals. This is part of the you know, these things that we use all the time. You know, we talk about changing us. They're psychotronic weapons, and they're working in the same way to do that. So I just want to peek up. This is why I don't look on my thing, the visual, because I always get distracted in my thoughts. But let me check out the comments over here for a second. So what do we have? Days of listening. I think a lot of people, Cindy Sister is an empath. I think a lot of people who are empaths right now are feeling a lot and struggling a little. That's what's going on. All right. So now that I totally distracted myself, some of my good friends and family need a, you know, so some of my friends and family on Facebook need a high school guidance counselor. Thank you, Jeffrey. There are multiple things, in my opinion, on Facebook that has already happened. And Facebook is what originally a DARPA project, right? So it and then it's government run and operated. You know, they have patents in there where they are, for example, this is just the one I know off the top of my head, but it's patent 6506148B2. And that one actually is a patent from your TV to your nervous system to control your nervous system as you're watching the programs. So there's a couple of documents that were leaked, released, whatever, and they show how these, and there's patents out there, but they show how these psychotronic weapons actually control our nervous system and control how we feel. Now we all have technology inside of us. So the Facebook is just a social engineering platform. So it works with the programming inside of us. There is an actual, for example, an AI Trump virus. As odd as it may sound, it is what exists. And what it is, and you ever see anyone when they start like losing their shit, like they can't even express themselves in a communication way without, like, you know, becoming unhinged? That's because there's an AI program accelerating what they're thinking and they're feeling. And that's real shit. This happens all the time. The AI organization has a video on that if you're interested in going and seeing it. But, you know, so often we're controlled by these devices and we're not even paying attention to it. It's like when you walk away, you're like, why would I say that? I don't even feel that way. Or, you know, that's, I don't know why I got so mad. It's because these devices are changing us. And it's already well established that the Instagram, Instanazis, Fedbook, Twitter, right, all of those accounts, that they're all government run and operated, and they're social engineering projects. So they would control us during the social thing. And the part on Facebook is, I don't know what kind of program they have put in there or that they have running, but it has really destroyed some minds or relationships, and it has really done a lot of antisocial behavior on there. But I know what you're talking about. It's Facebook especially, there is something really running in that. Like, I really believe there is a virus running in that. And especially for the people who spend way too much time on there, they tend to have the most aggression too, right? Or be very unwilling to change their viewpoint on anything. That's for sure. So let's okay. See if I have any comments in here. There's conversation. Let's see. So this is a good one. Yeah, you're right, Roy. It says the criminal elements, gangs, cartels, etc., have gone high tech and have subjecting citizens to nanotechnology via cell phone signals and networks. I agree. I completely agree with you. You know, they can send signals. A lot of people don't know that they can actually control our behavior by just changing the frequencies. Like, they don't even need to use the devices. They can use the towers and the antennas in the areas around us. And all they have to do is change the frequencies, and they can change it. You know, I often, with my neighborhood, you know, I'm the one who always talks about stuff. So, you know, it's no secret. I've been talking about a lot of this stuff for a long time. And I've noticed that, say if I'm hanging out in the cafe, right? And all of a sudden, eight of the men in there, they're pissed. All of them pissed. All of them in a bad mood. All of them in a certain thing. All of them in a certain way. And you talk to them, I'm just in a bad mood. It's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that eight of you hanging in the same place at the same time are in the same fucking mood. Do you know what I'm saying? But people don't recognize that we're being controlled. So they can take these devices and they can turn them in one direction, and we all really, oh, I love you, you're the best. And they turn them in another direction, and everyone's out in the street fucking shooting each other in the head. And this is, you know, there's so many levels to how dangerous this technology is to have around us. And I'm not saying there aren't advancements in it and that some of it isn't absolutely magnificent, because I do look at the different aspects of it when I research. Like, I'm looking at it to what it's doing to us. How is it harming us? How can we avoid it controlling us? You know, I don't want to be controlled by anything but me. I'm amazing. All there is to it. You're amazing, and we should allow it to be. But the government spent a lot of time and money trying to change who we are, telling us we can't remote view. We can all of us can remote view. That's pretty fucking amazing, no? Like, that we can actually, in our minds, go to anywhere and read a document on a table, that we could actually, like, just have this capability. But they spent all this money. I think Stanford was one of the major institutions they spent the most money at to hide it, to say that it was a special trait within a few people. No, it's not. We're amazing. We are spectacular, amazing beings. That's for sure. You got me right here. That's a nerd nipple one, Jeffrey. You remote viewed once. Can you share that? Because I really, and did you have to train yourself to do it? Or was it just something like, it just happened? Like, for me, for example, the first time I astral projected, it wasn't a thought process. Like, it just happened. I was on the beach, everything was right. And then I was in a different place. So that's really interesting. So what does it say? Let me go back here. Give me one sec. I just want to catch up on a couple of the comments. It's so hard to read and talk at the same time. Let's see. Okay. So. Oh, all right. Okay. All right. Jeffrey says he did it out of anger. Wow. I would assume. All right. Let me think about this for a second. Because I would assume if you could do something out of anger, that would be a way of harnessing power, right? No matter what way it's for, but that would be a way of harnessing power. So maybe if you focus that, you could probably, I'll put it up. It makes sense. I mean, someone was lying to me, so I focused and saw what they were doing. That makes sense. I mean, that makes total sense. But I'm just saying, if you could do it like that, I'm wondering how, if you really like, focused and, you know, we're breathing, like what you would really be able to see. That's pretty interesting. Because, you know, that one of the things that came out was that we all have this capability. Unbending intent requires I agree with you. I can't even, I agree with you so much. One of my hardest things is how can I say it? So it's a better descriptive. It's like when I have an intention and you want to think of it like in a long beam, right? Just going and going and going. And then every once in a while, like something comes in and interrupts it. So I know it's a lot of discipline and training. You really have to sit. I'm still working. I mean, I have good intent, but to really manifest and to be able to do it like that. What else? Okay. Good stuff.
Good stuff. It feels so good. Oh my gosh, I can't even tell you. It feels so good to be back on the radio. Although it is funny because I mean I could just babble on and babble on. And usually I have a, isn't that a weird now when I just say that, how it comes out, how we put spells on ourselves, right? In what I just said, right? Fuckers. Babble on, right? Literally. They got us saying stuff all the time to each other. Like when we say good morning, I don't say that. I say grand rising. But it was funny, one of my works, they wanted everybody to walk around and say, good morning. Like, I'm not saying that. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, I'm not in mourning. No one died. I'm not, we're not doing that. But it's so interesting how even like something simple like that, right? They convince us to trap ourselves all the time. It's crazy. Crazy in the sense it just wouldn't, you know, anyone logical, we wouldn't be doing any of this. But it feels really good to be back on the radio and to just be, you know, sharing what's going on and my thoughts. I get a lot of information, talk about a lot of stuff that most people don't want to talk about or just kind of overpass. And we have so much taking place right now that I've noticed that the more that we're communicating about the things that we're experiencing that are similar, that the more that we seem to be like creating a different energy with it, right? So that if I say like to loop around to the dream, right? So I have this dream or the experience, because it wasn't a dream, whatever that experience was the other night, I have this experience, I post about it, and then a bunch of people post that they're having the same experience. We're connected. Like, we're really connected. And that's pretty amazing, right? It's pretty amazing to in a time space where it's designed to make you feel like you're alone, to have this reassurance on another level and coming in through different ways because we're communicating about it, right? If I don't, you know, we don't talk about these things, then I don't know you feel the same way or that you have this goo on you too. You know what I mean? And this is how we're gonna bring heaven on earth because the stronger our communication skills become, then the more that we're realizing that we're actually linking up. I came across, oh, let me look because I really want to get this name right. So, little personal thing about me is I am hella guarded. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't. I am. I am just very guarded in who I am and what I do. And, or I should say, who I let in. I have a heart. I will help anybody in the world, but it doesn't mean that I'm going to let you close to mine, if that makes sense. So, posted about my experience the other day, and I had some people comment and write to me, and one of them in particular is Bizarre Star Beatery, and she helps people heal, and she does. Let me I'll read you her bio. Let me see. Says magic, mystic, and miracles. Medicine woman, seer, spirit communication, aura, soma, ritual adornment, cracking codes to the soul, love is the message. So she sends me a message in reference to the experience I had. And I'm not going to share any of that now. I'll share it at another time. But it was really just, wow. And so I go and I look at her profile. You know, you see who I'm talking to. And I go and I look at her profile. And instantly, I'm like, I know her. So I write to her. I'm like, do I know you? She's like, no, but I think I know you. Well, we don't know each other from this time space, but I know her. Her soul knows she knows my soul. My soul knows I know her soul. Here's the interesting thing about me is that I know when something is real or when a soul is genuinely real because my body reacts in a very physical way, meaning that it lets down its guard. And the minute that I started talking to her and we started communicating, I started crying. Not like, ooh, but I started crying. In fact, my eyes can fill up right now and they are a little. And it's because I know that I can trust this soul. Like I can genuinely like that it's okay. And it's so weird because there's that we all carry body armor, right? From the trauma we've all had or for different reasons. And it's hard to let it down. And I think sometimes it's even harder to recognize that it's there, right? Like we get so accustomed to being who we are and why we're certain ways that we don't even look at it sometimes, you know? And then when something like this happens for me and I have such an emotional response, like it's like my whole spirit saying it's okay, you can trust this person. Like you can trust him, it's fine. And then we just kind of keep advancing and
And then I find out that she's been talking with another Hocus for a fifth, and they've been having these dream experiences too. And it's just amazing that we keep all having these uniting dreams, I guess you could say, or experiences together. Something amazing is coming. I mean, it really is. It's on its way. So let's see what's going on over here. Let's see. Jeffy says, okay, so Jeffrey was talking, we're back on, I just checking out the comments. He says about the remote viewing. Says that, let me see, put it up. I don't believe I could do it again, but I'm an empath and I have ADHD. Some people say that's the superpower. It's sort of, I can go without food or water. Look up, that's interesting about the ADHD. I believe you could do it again. If you could do it once and you could do it like that, that's the thing though. If you could do something out of anger, if you could do it out of another emotion, imagine how much stronger it would be too. I believe you could do it again. Let's see. I don't know what that comment is, sorry. It's so hard trying to catch up to a conversation, that's so funny. All right. Thanks, everybody. Okay. So, I found that interesting about the remote viewing. So, one of the listeners was saying that he was able to remote view one time, and he was able to do it based off of anger. He wanted to see what someone was doing. And what an amazing thing to show, like, right, if we really want to tap into something, it's there. It's there, right? Like, his name's Jeffrey. If Jeffrey can tap into it like that, imagine all the other gifts that are there that we're able to tap into, but we just don't, right? Like, unless we actually want to, because I believe in one of the comments you said you really wanted to see, right? I guess that would be the intention of it. So maybe the intention has to do with the view that we actually see. I just think it's amazing all these things that the government has tried to suppress and hide from us, who we are, what we can do, you know, how much they've tried to change, like, who we really are. It's so crazy. Like, are we in the upside down, the backwards wall? What was the one, the one in the wall? What was that show? Shit. I can't think of it right now. But they keep showing us that we're in the backwards and the upside down. So this has been great. You're listening to Event Horizon on the Wake Up Radio, and I am your host, KB, KB Visions. We are traveling through time and space, maybe, maybe not. I don't mean on a ball. I mean in our minds and what's going on. There's something going on. Everybody can feel it. Everybody feels something. Something's going to happen. I wish I could be at the Aurora Borealis in December, that's for sure. That would be amazing. I mean, if we're going to have some huge upgrade, I would assume it's going to come from the Northern Lights and the consciousness and the energy. It's pretty interesting stuff. So, let's see. Before we go, I just wanted to share, this is a totally different topic, but I am going to switch gears for a second. And I think it connects, but it doesn't connect as, and the reason I bring it up is I just find this interesting in here because I'm trying to figure out, like, you know, who we are, where we came from, what the truth and what it isn't. And some of the topics about, like, so science fiction is really what's real, right? And then science is what's fake. And then that leaves us with mythology. And I had read somewhere and I found it to be really, really interesting. And it said that the truth became so hard for some people to deal with that they started to call it a fairy tale. And I think to myself, when? Like, at what point did they take the truth and start turning it? And it must have been a long time ago. Or is that when they wanted to start, when they figured out who we were and they wanted to start hiding things? I don't know. But when you think about all of the different nursery rhymes and the riddles, you know, you have Jack and the Beanstalk. Well, I believe Amazon just recently did a Jack and the Beanstalk movie. And what was really interesting was there were things in there. First of all, I was like, they're basing this off of something real. Like, this is not just made up shit. And then I have the biggest smile right now because mud fossils is one of my most fascinating rabbit holes to discover. So you have Jack and the Beanstalk, and they talk about how they, you know, the giants live up there, but their time is different. So I think it's like, 10 months here is like 10 days there, something like that. Like the time span is very, very different. And I know I've read that in other places before where they say there's a difference in time. In fact, the reality is that the time is different from the top of a high rise to the bottom of a high rise, that the clock does not tell the same time at the top of the floor as it does on the bottom floor, which in itself is like, why wouldn't it be telling the same time? Like what's changing from there to there? But it does. So, and then you have like Hansel and Gretel. Well, they got eaten. We have child trafficking, right? Like when you really start thinking about all this stuff, it's there. But it's this one book I got, and I just want to close on a couple of, let me see what she said. Oh, the mud flood theory? Yes, I will definitely share that with you. So when there was a great flood and it covered everything, and all of life, or most of life, was covered in a clay, right? And those are the mud fossils that we see today. There's no mountains on a flat earth plane. So for example, in New Hampshire, they used to have the old man in the mountain, and that is a actual man, but he was just covered in and they turned to stone. In fact, you can get blood from a stone. Real shit, you can get blood from a stone. That's what I'm saying. Like, everything is the fucking reverse of truth. So they tell you can't get blood from it. It's like getting blood from a stone. Yeah, you can actually get blood from a stone. It's because they're organs and they're people and they're animals that have now turned to stone. When you start really looking, you can see like elephant structures. You can see all sorts of animal structures. Here's the best part. Roger from Mud Fossil University did DNA testing and tested these rocks, and they came back as human DNA. Human DNA in the rocks. That's what I'm talking about. Like everything that, like, so when they're saying, you know, when these stories or these mythologies, there's so much truth to them, but evidently, like whatever that was the truth was too hard to handle, so they started calling it, they started calling it fairy tales. And mud fossils has just been, honestly, like, it's the most fascinating thing to me. And yes, someone had said in here that they still have them in Afghanistan. They have hidden a lot of the giant skeletons. They have hidden them away. But what I find interesting now, because we know that they use, you know, the media, or I'm starting out the media, like entertainment to disclose or condition us for what's about to happen and come. And a lot of references right now are looping back around to giants. And, you know, there's so much we don't know. I mean, unless some of us have actually gone and traveled and explored, you know, where we live, this earth, this section of wherever we are in time and space, right? We don't really know what's out there or inside. You know, there's talk of civilizations inside the earth, which to me, now that kind of, I don't want to go too far off basis right now, but that kind of reminds me of talks from Michael Kavanaugh and the Earth. Could it be actually a spaceship? Which I will connect it to this one is in Stargate Atlantis, the newer one. They had a particular episode and it was about the Aurora, ironically, right? And in this, they had discovered a ship. But when they discovered the ship was like, just kind of floating. There was nothing. It wasn't a viable ship, right? But what they did discover was inside of this ship, in this decrepit ship, was they found the entire crew in sleep stasis pods having a fucking mutual experience, think that they were flying the ship through space. Now, if that isn't predictive programming showing us what the capabilities really are, and that, I mean, that's what the Matrix is too, right? There was the same thing, that we're having this experience. But that also goes back to when I had said a little while ago about the gateway. That's the same thing. That's a CIA project. It's the exact same thing. So the mud fossils, I have a feeling that 2020 is just gonna unleash some stuff that I don't think a lot of people are prepared for. I just don't. I mean, how do you all of a sudden get rid of giants or hide them? Or is it just that we have been so conditioned, or we're in such a technological field that we can't actually see what is really taking place in the world around us? You know, that we have some kind of blinders on, you know, like in one of the Black Mirror episodes, when the mother put on, she put a chip in her child's head, and that was to filter out any bad that was happening in the world. So the child would walk down the street and not see the dog barking or whatever it is. And that made me think, like, what's to say they don't have that going on in us right now? You know what I mean? That we can't actually see what's going on. So let me see what this is saying. Oh, so the, whoa, I'm so glad you said that, the red-haired giants. What did I just, let me put that up, because what did I just watch, Jeffrey? What did I just watched something about red-haired giants that is so wild. I don't know what it was. I'm going to have to think of that. That just blew my mind. Because I remember in the, what was that? I remember in it, I was like, really? Red hair? But thank you for that comment. I appreciate that. So Jeffrey, do you think that they killed all of the giants? I mean, how do you, you know what I'm saying? Like, how do you just, how do little people kill giants? I mean, what is that? Was that Gulliver's Travels? Wasn't that Gulliver's Travels, right? And then, oh, what was I watching about the giants? So one of them was the sideshow acts in, oh, Jeffrey, it's great comments. Give me one sec, great comments. The sideshows in the circuses, they had a giant, a two-headed giant. And someone bought them, it was in a collection, but they tore it around. And the ironic thing was that it kind of like mummified itself, which I found really interesting. So where are you? That's a great comment right there. We went to Iraq for the Stargate and the other technology. I so agree with you. This is so, they are 100 years or more advanced in technology. This is not like this, what people think it is. What is this? Ooh, Norse mythology mentions the red-haired giants described. Where did I just watch? I just, honestly, within 2 days. I don't remember what show. Oh, it's going to drive me crazy. I'm gonna have to research this more right now. This is just so fascinating. Honestly, this is fascinating to me about the giants and the mud fossils and all that. I just find it so intriguing because it's proof there's a whole other existence that they lie about. But I knew I had heard about the Stargate. Wasn't there a picture that came up once about the Stargate over there? They had found it over in Afghanistan. They had a picture of it and people were questioning whether or not it was real or not. Let's see. The giant story is on YouTube. Oh, let me put that up, Jeffrey. The giant story is on YouTube. They interviewed some soldiers too. That really happened. I believe it. Thank you for that. I'm going to check that out. That's awesome. Let's see. And what's this one? La Muzili and the Giants of Afghanistan. Thank you. I will definitely check these out. I find this to be such a fascinating, fascinating topic. And one, like, why isn't it talked about? Like, why isn't it talked about, like, the old man in the mountain in New Hampshire was really a man? Or the elephant rock, it was really an elephant. Do you know what I'm saying? Or the existence of dragons. I think it's hilarious that they try to say dragons didn't exist. Really? Really? Or how they have evidence of fairies? I mean, that's the part of the mythology, right? Like, everything's a lie. Everything is. So, this book, what does it say? Let me see what this one is. Conan the Barbarian story of Frost Giant's daughter. Yeah! They keep telling us! Dogmen and werewolves are real too. I believe all of this. You know, I believe that this really. I mean, I totally. You know, I can't imagine that they have all of these made up shit. Do you know what I mean? Like, it came from somewhere. And it only makes sense.
Well, to me it does. The dragons represent ancient mystical wisdom.
Isn't it on the dragons the number of claws signify different things? Like if it has three claws or four claws, it has a difference on the meaning behind the dragon, I believe.
I don't remember that. Wasn't there a movie, the girl with the dragon tattoo too? I think I fell asleep during that one. I think I fell asleep. What is that? Sun Calopolis? Sun, you know, Cindy, what did you do that? Just to see if I couldn't say it? that's. What is it? Can you explain the dog man experience? I don't know if I know that. Do I know that? I don't think so. What a great conversation. Jeffrey, I think you should try the remote viewing again, though. I honestly do. So the mud fossils are fascinating. And I believe some of the gems and stones, I'm not 100% on this, but some of them are like an opal, I believe some of my research, and I'm not 100% on this, so I'm just going to say I'm not 100%. Let's speculate, okay? But I speculate that the heart, when it calcifies or when it turns to stone on the inside, turns to an opal. I believe that's what I had read. Let's see. From Carolina, is that a dog? I don't know what the dog man is. Okay. The dragon, Chinese culture, remembers the Tao and the sage. Real lost boys in Oregon. True story. They are the real vampires in Oregon. Oregon has the biggest missing persons in the United States. Wow, that's interesting. You know what I find interesting as well is that if you go and look, so Missing Persons Act, or if you're looking for a missing person, if they went missing in a national park, they don't get registered as a missing person. Not in that way. It's a whole different thing. And usually the circumstances are way weird, like way hella suspect too. Which, why wouldn't in a national park if you go missing? I don't get why. Would it be registered the same way? But this is great. So, what a nice show. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks. I appreciate it. Let me just peek here. So one of the things I just wanted to touch on this book. So this book I have, it is called Mythology. And it says The Gods, Heroes, and the Monsters of Ancient Greece. It's a student's edition with ample space for notes and observations. It's illustrated with numerous stuff maps. It's really amazing, right? But it's the part in here. So they list... Here's the part. So I have some things I just don't understand. So basically, it says the genealogical table of the gods, monsters, and heroes of ancient Greece. And it says chaos. And out of chaos was born Gaia, Taurus, I'm not going to say that right. Taurus, Eros, Night, Day, and Erebus. Right? So that came out of chaos. And then it goes down into the... You know, what came and what came. But then it goes from, oh, where did they come from? So it came from Gaia and Uranus, then came Cronus and Rhea, right? And then from them was born Poseidon, Hestia, Hades, Demeter, Hera, and Zeus. Now, Zeus's mother, Rhea, right? So evidently Cronos ate all of his children, but what Rhea did is she took Zeus and hid him and then put a rock inside the blanket and that's, or the towel, whatever, and that's what Cronos ate. So what Zeus did is he waited and then he came when he was older and he sought revenge, and what he did was he made his father throw up all of his siblings, which... This is a part of mythology that kind of like, I don't know, kind of blows my mind. This will have to be a whole nother show on here. But it talks about the Titans.
It says, Uranus hated this fear in his Titan children. As each one was born, he locked them away deep in Taratus. T-A-R-T-A-R-U-S. I'm sorry, I'm not the pronunciation. So they might never see daylight. He delighted in his evil, but his wife Gaia longed for a way to save them. She created a sickle and an abandonment and gave it to Cronus, the youngest and most terrible Titan, who had set an ambush for his father. Cronus attacked Uranus unaware and defeated him. As Uranus' substance dripped down onto the earth, it created the giants, the Furies, the Nymphs, and the Aphrodites. Now, yes, I am talking about Greek mythology. It is a book I have that I found, and I just find it fascinating. So I find the part of mythology, you know, when they talk about the Titans and the giants, you know, they're all over the world, but how can they just all be gone? Like, that's the part. And if they're gods, couldn't they make themselves visible and not visible? I know they're kind of deeper questions right now. Let's see. What are the Titans? You should come on the show sometime, Edward. I would love to talk to you. Titans come out of Uranus and Gaia. So this is stuff, like, I'm just learning this. Like, I am versed in nanotechnology and AI and these things, other than my natural connections, you know, that I get downloads and I just kind of know stuff. So this other part of it is a not new, but a newer aspect for me to be learning about. So I'm always open on this, especially for people who have a little bit more knowledge in it, a little more depth in it. But the book is really great. So the book, I'll have to show you. I'll show you. Let's see. Hi. This is actually the book right here. I don't know why there is all of that on there, but this is the book. The book actually found me. It's pretty dope. And then inside, you can see it's like a whole. So this book is literally like a whole journal, but I'll show you what I was just reading from. Right here. This one. This is the, I know I'm not, don't mind my, but this is it here. And it goes on. And then the whole book though, has maps, it has writings. It's a pretty amazing book, but it has like snakes. I don't know if you can see. It's great. It's a really nice book. It has all of the pieces to it. In fact, I have four in a collection like this that I was out one day in a secondhand store and they literally called me over to it. But this is it here. It is so fascinating. And it talks, in here too. It's super intriguing. So it talks about how Midas got his golden touch. I was like, if you like knowledge and nerdy stuff, this book is amazing. Like, it's absolutely amazing. I was reading it last night. They had to talk about life after death. It's just great. If they talk about, it's just good. It's so good. But I didn't mean to babble on too much about that because I'm totally digressing. Or maybe it connects to it all together. What I do find interesting is, you know, your mother always has like nicknames or things that she calls you, you know, when you're a kid or different things. And my mother, for some reason, would use a few different ones. I'll say them on the next one, but I find it really interesting, the nicknames and then how they relate to actual like beings and stuff. Yes, the Midas touch is both art of alchemy. I agree. I wonder, let me see if I can find, I don't want to waste too much time looking it up. It says, Aphrodite, nope. Where is it? Maybe it's on the other page. I didn't mark it, so I don't know if we're going to find it right away. No. Apollo, Hermes, the god Pan, the nine muses. Wait. Athens. The book is amazing. The next time I come live, I'll have all four books and we can look at them because I have one on Cleopatra, another on mythology. This one has,
Okay. So it's really it's really an amazing book. It's so the way that the book reads, I'll show you the very beginning. The way that it reads in the beginning is a, hold on, pardon my mediocre little shit here, but okay. So the way that it actually reads, it's a journal. So the book was given to a traveler to collect antiquities and to learn stuff. I'll read you what the part of the traveler, right? It says, to the finder of this book, a grim and terrible warning. Nice, right? It says, hold on. Just want to get this out of my way. Okay. It says, dear reader, October 1st, 1826, Mount Olympus, Greece. Dear reader, 3 months have passed since I came to Greece to hunt for the antiquities to help me. I brought the book you hold in your hand. It was written by a friend, Lady Hestia Evans. They told me that she was inspired to visit Greece by the writings of the late Lord Baron, who died at something. I don't know what that says. The country has many dangerous areas. It's all handwritten. And Lady Hestia has more to disguise than being able to travel safely through them all. While Lady Hestia wanted to learn about the Greek myths, my plan was to find as many antiquities as I could to present them to a friend of Lady and Mrs. Patio of Athens. Sorry, this writing is terrible, who wished to set upon my new museum. But I grew greedy and I fell out of it with Lady Hestia, decided to keep the antiquities I had found. Then I made a bigger mistake. The margins of this book, where you will find notes and a sad tale, but now I must stop. My time is short. I feel as though I can no longer hold this pen. Zeus, forgive me. John Orto. So evidently in here, in this book, he had made different agreements with the different gods or demons or demigods or, but it's really interesting. So it goes through a lot, the origins of mankind. In ancient Greek mythology, human beings were said to have been created in the image of gods. Although the myths do not agree as to whether it was Zeus himself or a Titan named Prometheus. I really align with the Prometheus thing, but who actually created them. All mortal creatures, human beings, were thought to stand upright so that they could gaze up into the heavens while most animals gaze down at the earth. It's just amazing book. Amazing. And then it talks about how Prometheus creates mankind. That, I don't know if anyone has seen the movie Prometheus, but I really liked it. I don't know. It just made sense to me in a way. Like, if you could create life, why wouldn't you? Let's see. What does it say? Hermes represents the ability to intuitively think on your feet. Yes. Yes. You're definitely way ahead of me on all of this, but just like you're saying what I was reading last night, that's dope. Thank you. It is such a great book. The next show, I'll bring up, we could definitely talk about this on the next show. It'll be fun. Because I just feel like everything that's going on right now is like all of mythology is coming into fruition, right? That it's really starting to manifest itself. That it's not, you know, these aren't fairy tales. These are things, and 2020 is a big unveiling and full vision. You saw Prometheus? Did you like it? Jeffrey says he saw Prometheus. What's this one? Yes. I mean, I'm sure you've seen books like this, but I think you would love this book. It's just so beautifully done. It's interesting because on some of the gods and like the family tree of them, I had to like go back and like read it again. And it was just interesting because Gaia come out of chaos. But wouldn't that mean that all the other ones, like, so if she's supposed to, you know, be the mother, but then aren't all the other ones in alignment too? Like, why don't we ever talk about any of them? You know, I'm just learning all of this, so this is interesting to me. It's super interesting. So let's see. Prometheus the Titan represents the mastery and enhancement of genius and invention. I gotta have Prometheus blood in me. That's dope. How long have you been knowledgeable and researching or know on this stuff, Edward? That's great. That is so awesome. I read the book when I was in high school.
That's fantastic.
That is fantastic. So this has been amazing. I am so happy to be back on the air. I know I popped in a video a little bit, but I, although it's interesting because I'm an artist and I'm a visual, but when I'm speaking and, communicating or doing a 2-hour radio show, you know, basically where I'm just talking to myself in my house, when I do it through the audio, I find that my thought process is a little more cohesive versus, as you can see, the couple of times when I go and I look at comments and stuff, it's not as fluid for me. I feel like, you know, when I've seen the shows that I've done that have been visual, and I listen to the shows that I've done that are just, or I listen to both of them, you know, whether it's a visual or an audio, I feel like the audio ones are just a little bit better for me. Some people are better doing both, but I just like talking and being cohesive that way. So let me see these comments and we're going to close out. And all of you are amazing. Thank you for being here. Says I'm not, let's see, what is this one? Teen. Okay. Awesome. All right, so Prometheus was very telling. I actually watched it twice because I just found it so fascinating. Like it was just logical to me. I don't know why, but it just was logical. So I want to thank everyone for being here, for being interactive in the chat. It's super appreciated, and for sharing with me. I'm such a nerd. I love learning stuff, so this is amazing, and I'll definitely go back and check out these comments and some of the stuff later. I it's funny, it's people don't like learning and don't like knowing stuff. I don't get them. I really genuinely don't get them, because this stuff, intellectual conversations, this is fucking everything right there. It's so great. So, all right, I'm going to finish. Oh, we got a couple good ones in here. Watch Jupiter Ascending, Prometheus prequel to the Alien film franchise. Damn. Watch Utopia and watch Children's End. Awesome recommendations. Thank you so much. So, one more Lovecraft Country. So I want to thank everyone for being here. This has been great. It's amazing, you know, when you don't sit down with a plan of what you're going to say, that you can actually talk, or I can talk for 2 hours. Here we are. You have been listening to Event Horizon on the Wake Up Radio. I am your host, KB, KB Visions. You can find me at KB Visions 2020 on Instagram. And until next time, I'm out. Flawed individual. Sing the Ashby Production.
On the Wake Up.